Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson, Ricky Ricardo with you on this Christmas Eve. Luke Nichols is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show as we fill in for Ike, Spike, and Fritz on this afternoon show. Ricky, I would agree. That voice is, he's got one hell of a voice. I mean, you and Luke, you got some pipes, but that Trace Atkins there bringing us back.
Yeah. Yeah, those are pipes.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I mean, that is... He has a natural... I think it's fair to say he has a natural God-given gift, which is his voice. So we've got a lot of things here on the table. You know, we're talking Eagles, we're talking Phillies. We spoke to Jeff Kerr earlier. If you want to listen to any of this show back, you can go on the Odyssey app. Of course, you can rewind there. This entire show will be podcasted on the afternoon show page. But... where we began the show today, and want to kind of reset here, Ricky, is was it a blessing in disguise that the Eagles lost to the Commanders? And for people just joining us, just to quickly re-go over these reasons. First reason I threw off you was I didn't think the number one seed ever seemed that realistic to me anyway. I think the rest, the Eagles resting their starters in Week 18 is more important. We just saw Jalen Hurts literally go down with a concussion. It's the NFL, any given play, someone could go out for any period of time. Now, we don't know what the status with Jalen Hurts is, but this team's been going strong since week five when they had their bye. It's the earliest possible time you can have a bye in the NFL. I think getting that rest in week 18, listen, the one seed would have been nice. Getting that first round bye in the NFC would have been nice. And if that was actually a more realistic possibility, I would have been all in favor of it. But what was going to happen, what I believed was going to happen all along, was if the Eagles won out, that let's say even the Vikings lose to the Packers this week and the Lions go and beat the 49ers, well, then the Lions have the NFC North wrapped up. The Vikings don't play their starters in week 18. The Eagles go after it in week 18 in either the 1 o'clock or 4:25 window. And at the same time or on Sunday Night Football, whenever the Lions and Packers, or whenever the Vikings and Lions go at it, I should say, the Lions are going hard, the Vikings aren't, and the Eagles, it was all for naught. They were chasing the number one seed, and it wouldn't have happened anyway. They never get rest. I think it was a blessing in disguise, if you will, that now they're actually going to get that rest in Week 18, assuming they can take care of business against Dallas. A blessing in disguise, if you will, they lost this past week.
I agree, and I said it on Sunday night, and I was ridiculed for it by many. Oh, how can you accept a loss? I had several reasons. While I was driving, and by the way, driving out of that place down in Landover.
Oh, it's a mess. I've been there before, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's a nightmare getting out of that place. And thank God I was in the back seat. My partner was driving. You know, there was four of us in the car. And I had time to, you know, to really think about everything. And by that time, we knew Detroit had beaten Chicago. So I came to the conclusion by the time I got on the radio on Sunday night that this was kind of a blessing in disguise. You know, the Eagles, they'll handle business against the Dallas Cowboys this week. I'm confident of that. I'd be stunned if Dallas came in here and beat us. The Eagles will handle their business, whether it's with Kenny Pickett or, you know, whoever. Dallas has been playing better football. I'll give them that. They beat Tampa Bay. I think they've won four out of the last five, something like that. Have the Cowboys? And sometimes...
And who let him get hot?
Mike Golic, who was doing the national broadcast that you heard here on 94 WIP, he made it a point to repeat on a couple of occasions that sometimes teams that have been eliminated, you know, take that weight off of their shoulders and they play kind of footloose and fancy
free. They got nothing, they got nothing to lose. All the pressure's off.
Right.
Yeah.
All the pressure's off, so they play, you know, without those chains around them, and they tend to perform a little bit better. I don't think the Eagles are feeling any pressure to win this Sunday. I mean, I think it's the usual preparation week. They'll have, obviously, you know, the holiday in the middle of the week to kind of break up the monotony of what is a, you know, a long and strenuous football season. So they'll come out ready on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on 94 WIP, of course. They'll take care of business. And then, as we brought up in the opening of the show, Dan, the New York Giants are going to come in here on, you know, week 18, whether it's Saturday, whether it's Sunday, you know, whatever time, you know, it's all to be determined that last weekend of the regular season. They won't announce that. We'll probably break that news here on Sunday night. I'll probably have the honor of doing that at some point on Sunday night after the NFL makes up its mind after the results of, you know, most of the action. Detroit and San Francisco is a big game on Monday night, but I don't think they'll wait until
we'll probably know Sunday night where the Eagles Giants very good chance doesn't really have any implication at all.
Right.
That feels like a 1 o'clock.
That's
all
got
the backups
Saturday
play.
Night. That's got Saturday night or 1 o'clock Sunday written all over it. Okay. And the reason I say maybe a Saturday night is because maybe the NFL would want to split up the New York market and give the Jets and Dolphins maybe the 1 o'clock slot. Or maybe they stick the Jets and Dolphins, which is probably also going to be
what kind
a
of rating,
game.
What kind, what kind of ratings are the Giants and Jets getting in New York these days anyway? I understand it's still New York, but week 18, I mean, they're both.
They usually like to split the two New York teams and not put them in the same time slot when possible. And since it's the last weekend of the season, you'd want the Giant audience to have the Giants to themselves and the Jet audience to have the Jets to themselves one last time. So they may split them up, which you know, might be an indicator that maybe one of those two New York teams will be scheduled on Saturday because, you know, more than likely neither game is going to have any playoff implication to it. So the Eagles, on that final weekend of the regular season, can sit the regulars, you know, can really take some of the guys that have been banged up off the field, get them off their feet, and get them, as I said, it's a quasi bye week to get them ready for the wild card weekend round. And it wouldn't bother me one bit if, didn't we play on? Yeah, we played on Monday night this last season.
It could happen again.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's got a lot of feeling of that. You remember the Super Bowl year, the first Super Bowl 52 year, the Eagles lost a 6-0 game to the Cowboys. Kind of has that kind of feel to it, that last Giants game. Not going to be a lot of pizzazz around it at all. The second reason for those just joining us why I think it might have been a blessing in disguise, there's a good chance that this number two seed path is easier anyway. Let me explain what I mean by that. Just the way the NFC standings are playing out in this particular season, right now, as the standings sit right here on Christmas Eve with 2 weeks to go in the NFL season, the Lions are the one seed, the Eagles are the two seed, and then you got a long drop-off to the 3 and 4 seed. The Rams currently lead the NFC West, the Falcons currently lead the NFC South, and then the wild card teams are the Vikings, Packers, and Commanders in that order. Because the NFL reseeds, it's very possible that the Eagles very likely to face the Commanders in that first week. If they win that wild card round, they could be seeing the Rams and the Falcons at the link the following week while the Lions get stuck with the Vikings or the Packers on the receding front. Whereas if they were the number one seed, you're maybe looking at a tougher divisional round. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the two seed that you wouldn't want to go fight for that first round bye, but it is possible that when divisional round comes around here that we're looking and saying, hey, that spread in the Lions-Vikings, Lions-Packers game is actually tighter than whatever the Eagles have. I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing in the world that the Eagles have this easier path to get to the NFC Championship.
No, I agree 100%. Let me tell you, the one team, and we saw them opening night, but the one team that would really concern me the most going forward, and you saw them take care of business last night with the first shutout of the season, by the way. It took until, week 16 to accomplish it. But the Green Bay Packers would be the team, I dare say Green Bay may concern me more, even with them coming into Philadelphia, because we would not play. They can't win their division, so we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't play.
I got news for you. If the Packers win in that wild card round, it is guaranteed at that point that they would go play the number one seed. Because if they're the sixth seed and the Eagles take care of the seventh seed, they have to be the lowest seed remaining. There's no way that the Eagles could see them, if the standings stay as they are right now, any sooner than the NFC Championship, which in that case would be at the Link.
No, I agree. That's the one team of that whole group that you just spoke of, whether it ends up being Atlanta or Tampa. I think Washington beats Atlanta this week, and Tampa, you know, leapfrogs them. Just my gut.
Back into the first place in the
back
South.
Back into first place, because Atlanta beat Tampa twice. That's why, although they have the same record, Atlanta has the tiebreaker against the Bucks. But I think the Buccaneers will end up winning their two home games that they have left. Atlanta probably will lose in Washington Sunday night. I guess you'll hear that on 94 WIP and Sunday Night Football. It's a heck of a matchup. The Falcons with Penix going up against Jaden Daniels. And then Atlanta finishes with, I believe it's Carolina, who's been playing much better
football.
Yeah,
it has to be a divisional matchup.
It's
in week
a divisional
18.
Matchup. So if memory serves me correctly, and I'd just take a glance here, be sure of it. But Tampa, I believe, ends up with New Orleans, and Atlanta and Carolina, or the other way around. But I think Tampa will win that South.
Tampa they have the Panthers and the Saints as their last two games.
The two divisional games.
Yeah, two divisional games to end. And then
Atlanta
Falcons.
Has Washington and New Orleans.
Yes.
Okay. So they'll probably go 1-1.
Or no, they have Washington and Carolina.
That's what I thought. Okay. Well, so Atlanta
however it shakes out, only one of the very likely only one team from that division's making it.
Yes. Yes. But regardless, and although Atlanta beat the Eagles, I don't think there's
they
a
did a long time ago
chance. And you know what? That they do it again. I'll eat crow if it ever were to happen. But the one team I would not, I don't want to say that I wouldn't want to see, but the team that would concern me the most in the postseason would be Green Bay. And if Green Bay gets that far, they'll play the Lions.
They'll play the Lions. And again, the only scenario they'd have them is if they were the last team in the NFC standing, and that game would be at the Link. And then the last reason that it might have been a blessing in disguise. I've been pretty clear the last few weeks. If the rushing record happens naturally, that's awesome. That would be great. It would be awesome for this team to go down in history, regardless of the number of games. I know, Ricky, you've mentioned, and a number of other people have, the asterisk there on, you know, Saquon Barkley doing it in 17 games versus 16 games like Eric Dickerson, 14 games like O.J. Simpson did it. Now, actually, Scott and King of Prussia tweeted me during one of our breaks here. Something that doesn't get talked about often is that Saquon Barkley could, in theory, although it would be more games, could theoretically do it in fewer carries than Eric Dickerson. I don't know if that holds any weight with you. Carries versus games played. Like
That would be like saying at bats
versus games. At the end of the day, I agree with you. I think it's more about games than carries, but it is in theory something to note there that it's not completely Mickey Mouse. But regardless of whether you hold weight in Saquon getting this rushing record, or not, I think the temptation to go for it was going to be there for Nick Sirianni and this coaching staff. If they won on Sunday, if they won again, against Dallas this week, and that one seed was there, they could justify playing them. I don't want that to be the focus. Not to say that you can't go for the rushing record and go achieve, you know, playing for a Super Bowl, but I think not having the bye since week 5 and then playing all the starters hard through week 18 and turning around possibly on a short week if they get stuck in a Saturday time slot with the Commanders, I think it will be overall better in the long run that these starters take rest, take a bye week. They're not going to get the number one seed now.
You know who I want to see? Will and Kenny. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of Kenny Gainwell, a lot of maybe Kenny Pickett if Hurts is good to go at that point. A lot of Will Shipley.
Yep.
Those guys who are on the inactive list all, you know, usually every week, they can all get their, you know, their time. That's who that feels like it should be. Yeah. And it should be a lot of runs to the left, a lot of runs to the right, don't show anything. And just get through that game healthy and then on to the playoffs. That's kind of where I'm at. So
no, I agree 100%. And we have an interesting Mark Jewelers question, too, Dan.
Well, we do. So we got to do that actually in the next segment because this segment is sponsored by Colonial Hyundai. Shop 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Yeah, that segment, again, this segment is brought to you by our friends over at Colonial Hyundai. 215-592-9494, our Twitter question coming up in the next segment, as well as a few other fun things. But let's get back to the phones here. Troy in Mount Airy has been waiting patiently. What's up, Troy? Troy, are you there? Let's put Troy back on hold. Let's try Alan in Franklinville. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how you doing? So I was just calling more so to talk about, like, to touch on, like, once Jalen Hurts came out of the game how they brought in Pickett. They kind of tried to run the same offense when Pickett, obviously, his legs doesn't strike the same fear in a defense that Jalen's legs do. And I also want to, like, put an emphasis on how they were loading the box. And for whatever reason, they continued to try to run Saquon between the tackles rather than running him outside. Like, they were crashing the middle so hard with eight people in the box constantly the whole game. And they didn't, it felt like they didn't even think to, you know, hit him with a screen or put him on a sweep or something. It seemed like they kept him inside the zone of the two tackles.
It looked like Washington had a spy. The spy was Luvu, Frankie Luvu, very mobile. And Luvu was keeping – once Jalen Hurts was out of the game, Luvu was, you know, was told, you keep your eyes on 26, on Saquon Barkley. And if they – it looked anyway, from my vantage point being there, that if they had tried to run outside, remember, you know, you're not running with Goddard, you're running with Kakatera and Uzama, you know, that kind of a tight end, not real big run blockers. And Luvu was doing an amazing job of shadowing Saquon the rest of that game.
Okay. And then I also wanted to speak on the defense. When you get to that last touchdown pass, I don't understand how you don't have linebackers sitting in the middle on the goal line. I don't know if that was like their man assignment that was off and they were running a tight man, but to me, especially like knowing Jaden Daniels seems to have a habit of he shades to one side and then likes to throw across his body back into the center or the other side of the field. And I just feel like they didn't really have that like spy in the center of the field that respected him going back the other way.
Yeah, I thought it was maybe the worst game the defense has played. Maybe not the absolute worst. That Bucs game was pretty bad. But among the worst games we've seen from this defense, certainly post-bye week, I felt like Jaden Daniels had a lot of success. That long run he had, was that a third down, fourth down late in the game, felt like a real turning point in this one. No, I agree with you, Alan. It felt like they... For a defense that forced five turnovers on Sunday, again, it's now happened twice this season. I think three times, Ricky, I don't know if you saw this. I think three times in the last 20 years has a team turned the ball over five times and still won the game.
And
twice it's happened this year. The Lions did it once, and now the Eagles have allowed the Commanders to win doing it. No, the Eagles defense did a great job of forcing turnovers on Sunday. Some of them are self-inflicted by the Commanders as well, but overall, when you still, you know, 36 points is 36 points. Like, I thought Kenny Pickett was good enough to win this game. I thought overall the Eagles did enough just on the offensive side of the ball to win this game. I thought the defense was not stellar. I thought the special teams had a really weird day when, you know, Ricky, you mentioned that there wasn't much wind down in Landover, so why Braden Mann randomly had trouble with the kickoffs and wasn't just kicking it through the end zone like he had all year doesn't really make a ton of sense to me. They did a lot of little things that clearly piled up and weighed heavier than the fact that the defense forced five turnovers. And that play at the end there, that touchdown, Alan, certainly is among them.
Well, McCollum was, you know, the last line of defense, remember, Alan, was McCollum.
Not CJGJ, which is self-inflicted because he got himself tossed.
Zach Bond was running with Jamison Crowder on that last play the entire time, too. And as soon as he didn't keep running with him, that's when Jaden Daniels threw the ball. Because as soon as Bond didn't flip his hips and keep going with Crowder, he knew that he was going to be wide open in the back of the end zone.
Yeah. And they burned him. They burned the Eagles twice on that same pattern during the game. Yeah. Remember, two of the touchdown passes were exactly to that same spot.
Alan, what's your natural given talent?
I'd probably say, like, my ability to like learn and pick up on things. I'm a very quick learner. Like
I'm a
trade worker, and like everybody, like every time I've gone into a different trade, because I grew up with my my stepfather like flipping houses and stuff like that, so I got to learn a little taste of everything. And once you kind of like have a basis with it, I feel like it's very easy to pick up on everything else. So I'd say probably like, yeah, my ability to learn, especially like working with my hands.
No, I appreciate
it, Alan. If I gave you the instruction manual for like one of these TV tables that you have to put together at home, you could do that quickly?
Well, he just dropped off. But no, that is a skill, like getting those instruction manuals and being able to do it. I mean, those are a pain in the ass for a lot of people.
I hire somebody.
Comes
I
with mean, that I'll, small I'll, little I'll, Allen wrench.
Oh, and that never works.
It's a giant pain.
215-592-9494. Now, as well as everything Eagles related, still reacting to that game we saw on Sunday, discussing whether or not it's a blessing in disguise, perhaps, that the Eagles lost that game. Talking the newfound appreciation we have for Jalen Hurts, we are also talking Phillies. They've been, after not doing much of anything all offseason, they've been very active in the last week. Our friend Gerlene in Fishtown, Ricky, who is actually my roommate, wants to get in on the Phillies. What's up, Gerlene?
Hey, Ricky. Hey, Daniel. How's it going?
What's up?
So I've got a few points I wanted to make about the Phillies offseason. I feel like I've seen a lot of takes about them not doing too much, about this not being as flashy of an offseason as other teams are having. I think that's a little misguided. I think the Phillies can and should be running it back this season. I mean, you're talking about a team that, and pardon me for using the advanced analytics here, you're talking about a team that's fourth in WOBA, sixth in WAR, right? Like, this is a very offensively oriented team. The lineup's great. The pitching's great. I don't think you needed to make a big move for this offseason to be a success. And I feel like I've seen, especially about Alec Bohm, people wanting to get rid of this guy. Like, you know, he hasn't been batting his behind off the entire season. You're talking about a guy with 97 RBI this season, well and above average hitter, and, you know, say what you will about the defensive miscues he's made this season, he's ranked eighth in fielding run value, according to StatCast. I mean, this guy's not as horrible as we make him out to be. This team's not as horrible as we make him out to be. So I'm curious why you think this entire city needed this offseason to be a lot flashier.
Well, Gerlene, that might be the most analytically driven Phillies call in the history of WIP. No, I don't think they necessarily needed to make a big splash this offseason. I mean, Dombrowski spoke basically as soon as the season ended and kind of tempered expectations, I thought, in saying that don't expect some huge move. I didn't think they were going to clean house or anything like that. You go through the entire lineup, they're locked into a number of those contracts. Bohm, I think, is the name you're hearing a lot because he feels the most movable. Doesn't feel like they're necessarily as likely to move him at this point. Not that it's impossible, but maybe they didn't find what they were looking for. I think overall this offseason... go ahead, Rick.
Let me ask you a question, Dan.
Yeah.
I have brought up the whole Bohm situation with three or four people whose opinion I trust lately.
Sure.
Baseball people, Phillies connected people.
Yeah.
Everyone has given me the same answer. The Bohm mania here and the whole thing about trading Bohm has maybe as much or more to do with Bohm than it does with Bohm the player.
You mean him mentally?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what WOBA or, you know, how many runs he drove in last year doesn't quantify is...
This is an all-star player.
No, I understand, but what it doesn't quantify is who the guy is mentally. He gets very visibly frustrated. He's had a very roller coaster type career in Philadelphia, I'll say emotionally, and it was something I do worry about, and I'm not the first one to mention it, but it's worth echoing, I think, is, all right, his name's been attached in every trade rumor imaginable this offseason. What does he look like? Like, is he a guy who responds to that if he opens with the Phillies in spring training and then ultimately returns to Citizens Bank Park on opening day? Or is he a guy who feels mentally checked out, doesn't deal with that mental adversity? Yeah.
Well, let me remind Phillies fans that they once had a third baseman whom everyone in this town despised, okay? Despised! and he turned out to be the greatest Philly of all time.
Yeah, I'll be damned if Alec Bohm turns into Mike Schmidt, but I understand where you're going with this. Yeah. Gerlin, we're up against the break here, but other than, you know, you obviously work down at the ballpark as well. Other than ruining baseball for fans with your overblown analytics, what's your natural talent?
Thank you for the kind words. Yeah. But I think if I had to choose one of my many talents, it'd probably be my my skills at Madden or College Football 25. I mean, I've never thrown a pick once in my life. You know, defensively, I'm on the ball constantly. So I'd have to go with that.
Gerlin, I appreciate the call. I beg to differ. He's being sarcastic there. He lost by 100 to my other roommate.
100?
Yeah, he lost in college football. My roommate Aaron was playing with Sam Houston, and he was playing with either Georgia, Alabama, one of the and he lost by over 100 in college football, 25.
That's impressive.
It is impressive, yeah. Video games might not be Gerlin's thing. We're late for the break here, 215-592-9494. We're going to get this ship back on the road here. as we roll on till 6 o'clock, Dan Wilson, Ricky Ricardo with you. Luke Nichols is behind the glass talking all things Eagles Commanders. Talking, you know, the fact that they had to finish that game with Kenny Pickett, what you thought about that, as well as the Phillies. But also on the other side, Ricky, I don't know if you heard it, but yesterday Seth Joyner was on the morning show and discussed the value of Jalen Hurts. Brian Baldinger, who is known for his baldy breakdowns, he put out a video where he discussed how well he thought Kenny Pickett played on Sunday. We'll play those for you coming up next, as well as rock your phone calls. 215-592-9494. Dan Wilson, Ricky Ricardo with you. In for the afternoon, guys. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson and Ricky Ricardo with you on this Christmas Eve, filling in for the afternoon, guys. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show.
Our you Twitter... want some eggnog?
Yeah, throw it up 1,000 miles up 95. Let's see if I can catch it.
I got some real good eggnog here.
Are you a big eggnog guy?
I love it. Absolutely.
I don't know if I've
never had it.
Maybe had it once.
Never had it.
Wait a minute. Luke, you've never had it?
Nope.
You have never tried eggnog in a holiday season?
Nope. The name The name isn't doing it for me. Eggnog, that's not screaming that it's
delicious. I gotta
admit,
it doesn't sound great.
No, have you ever had eggplant?
Yes.
Well, eggplant doesn't sound very appealing, but it's
delicious. No, but when you dump it in gravy or sauce and you have a pasta on the side and you bread it a little bit, it's delicious.
Yeah, well, with eggnog, when you put a little something-something in it, it's...
All right, fair enough.
Cheer. It's delicious.
Fair enough, but then, I don't know, I hear eggnog, and I'm just like, I'm good. I'll take a hot chocolate with a little something in there. That's delicious.
Hot chocolate with alcohol?
Yeah, you haven't seen that? It's like, I guess they put the Baileys in it or something.
Maybe with now you really threw me for a loop.
See, there we go. We each have something that we got to try.
Holiday traditions. Anyway, what I was going to say is the Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Our question today, did you gain a newfound appreciation for Jalen Hurts after seeing the Eagles play without him on Sunday?
Nope.
Currently, 78% are still saying yes. 215-592-9494, once again, is how you join the show. Now, we'll get back to the phone lines in just a minute here, but two pieces of audio I wanted to play for you, Ricky.
All right.
One from Seth Joyner, one from Brian Baldinger. We will start with Seth Joyner off of our Twitter question of, did people gain a newfound appreciation for the starting quarterback? Did you learn something new, or were you surprised in any which way how much you appreciate Jalen Hurts post-Sunday as opposed to going into the game or, you know, any of the weeks beforehand? Well, Seth Joyner was on the morning show yesterday with very strong words for the value that Jalen Hurts brings to this team. Here is what Seth had to say.
I think yesterday was an opportunity, as unfortunate as it was, for not only the local media who had doubts about Jalen Hurts, but also the national media to open their eyes to see just how important he is to this offense. This is what it is. You know, different quarterbacks mean different things to different teams and different schemes. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what people fail to realize is that, you know, AJ is huge for this football team. Saquon being added to this team is a really big deal. But I don't give a damn how good the two of those play. Jalen is the most important piece to this offense. So people need to stop this nonsense that any quarterback can come in here with this amount of talent, this amount of ability, you know, and set the league on fire, because there's only a handful of other quarterbacks in the National Football League that can do what Jalen Hurts does and add to the running game and the passing game the way that he does.
Now
we can open our eyes, you know, to the reality of what's really going on. Because if Jalen Hurts plays in that game yesterday, the Eagles score 40 points and beat the damn brakes off of the Washington Commanders. That's just a fact.
Third quarter.
All right, so first of all, if they scored 40 points, I don't know if that would have beaten the brakes off the Commanders. They would have won by four. Yes, I get the time of possession would have been different. But in terms of the appreciation level for Seth Joyner, no-nonsense guy. Ricky, he was having none of it, any of the slander or depreciation of Jalen Hurts yesterday.
Well, but that's been my point all along. I think Seth and I are on the same wavelength. And the key word in the Mark's Jewelers question is newfound. No, I've had the same opinion all along of how important Jalen Hurts is to this offense. It's almost like having a high-performance vehicle. Let's say, what car these days? A Mustang, a Charger, you know, that have turbo and have all this power? You know, what good is it if you can't, you know, if as a driver, if you can't handle it, what good is having all that power? So what good is having all these weapons if you don't have a quarterback that can make the best out of them? So, you know, it wasn't that's why I keep saying it's not a newfound appreciation, because having
you already knew what you felt.
Newfound appreciation is insinuating that you kind of took him for granted. I never took the guy for granted, because I have seen, you know, up close and personal what the Eagle offense looks without Jalen Hurts, with several people, and it is night and day.
All right, so then let's give not a fully contrasting viewpoint, but just a varying viewpoint here, so to speak, because you just mentioned that what good is having the weapons if you don't have the quarterback to do it. Now, Brian Baldinger, who of course does the Baldy breakdowns.
And he did the game, by the way. He did the national broadcast. He was 3 feet away from me on the other side of the glass.
On radio?
Yes.
So he did the game on radio, and then he did a Baldy breakdown after the game discussing how well Pickett played and whether or not he played well enough with those weapons around him to beat the Commanders. Here's what Baldy had to say.
And then they 4th and 7. They keep it going right here. Hit A.J. Brown on the crosser route. Ball comes out. It comes out accurate. It comes out quick. He doesn't hold the ball. And then you get this. Like, you get this throw. Like, this is a wheel to Saquon. In the 4th quarter, steps up into the eye of the storm and throws a great throw to Saquon. He just couldn't find the handle of it, and it's an incompletion. And then there was this one, as we know, to go put the game away right here to Devontae Smith. Like, there it is. He probably walks into the end zone. He knows it. Probably took his eyes off it, but it was a great throw. But the ball came out quick. It was accurate. He moved the team. I thought, considering he hadn't played in over a year, Pickett played well.
And that's kind of where I was at, Ricky, which is that, remember in the preseason, everyone was saying how Pickett shouldn't even be the backup for this team. It should be Tanner McKee at number 2, Pickett at number 3. I thought Pickett played like as well as he probably could have. Like, all things considered, he exceeded my expectations. And if you had told me that Kenny Pickett played as well as he did, and I would still have that newfound appreciation for Jalen Hurts, not because of really anything to do with the passing game, but because of how quickly the Commanders adjusted to his Pickett's lack of ability to run the ball, and that affected everything else. That's really where my appreciation came. It was just redirected in a new direction, something I was not anticipating. And that's something the Eagles are going to have to game plan with. I asked this to Jeff Kerr when we had him on earlier. I didn't think that Sirianni, Kellen Moore, whoever's putting these game plans and play calls together, I didn't think they did necessarily the best job altering the playbook once Pickett got in there. It seemed like they were still trying to run the variations of the same offense and didn't really make that adjustment. And I get it's difficult in-game.
In-game.
But you got to be prepared for situations. Like Hurts could go down at any moment, any given week. You have to have something
now,
ready in the bag if the backup comes in.
At what point was the interception that Pickett threw? It was pretty quickly after, may have been the next drive.
Yeah, that was a bad mistake. But even all that considered.
But what I'm saying is, maybe when he throws that pick, in the second drive after coming into the game, maybe that made the coaching staff a little hesitant as to make adjustments on the fly, if you know what I mean.
Wouldn't you see that your backup quarterback threw an interception and be like, all right, we got to dumb down this offense, play to his strengths, just get the ball out quick, high percentage play? Like, wouldn't that?
But I thought they did some of that.
Did you feel they did enough of it, though? Like, did it feel enough of a different offense? Did it feel like they were still trying?
One thing Baldy said that makes all kinds of sense in his take there, there were a couple of big fourth down conversions that I thought for sure, though. What was that, fourth and seven? I thought for sure Sirianni would punt. I mean,
he kept his aggression
right
with Pickett, which I was actually impressed by, and it paid off. I remember I was watching here. You know, you've seen the whole setup we have and our whole game day crew here. It's Angelina behind the booth. I'm watching out in the lounge, whatever. And then Jason Avant, who does our post game show, he got up to go to the bathroom. It might have been the break in the 2-minute warning or some commercial in the fourth quarter. And he kind of thought the same thing, you know, two football guys, me and Jason Avant. He kind of thought the same thing that I was. He was like, they keep trying these first down runs late in the game in the fourth quarter, and it just doesn't work as well with Pickett in there as it does with Jalen Hurts in there. And that was the kind of stuff, like the sequence of play calling, mm-hmm. to me, didn't feel like they changed. It didn't feel they altered that enough. And that's not to say that that can't be fixed now that they have a whole week to prepare for the possibility of Pickett playing. But in the moment, the in-game, on-the-fly adjusting didn't... I would have liked to see a little bit more from the coaching staff.
No, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Mitch in East Windsor has been waiting patiently. What's up, Mitch?
Merry Christmas, guys. How are you guys
Mitchell,
doing?
Mitchell, how are you, buddy?
Same to you.
Good, Rick. Good. By the way, did Aaron Judge accept that invitation from Times Square to drop the ball?
I mean, Rick, I think I texted that joke to Ricky 2 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, you beat me to it, but that was fine. That has to be fun.
It's a good joke. I give it to you, Mitch.
Yeah. Well, we have plenty of time to talk about baseball. You got to say Eagles. I mean, they're in a whole different spot than say the Jets and the Giants with their quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather see Tanner McGee getting there, but in terms of MVP, if Barkley gets that record, you got to give it to him. What about Jared Goff? I mean, with these Eagles and Lions getting these injuries, I think it's really opened up like four or five teams. Well, you got to consider Washington, Minnesota, and Green Bay. It's really going to be some race.
Wait.
These injuries are killing the game.
Mitch, two things going on here. So you want Saquon for MVP, and you're saying who's going to get the one seed or who the Eagles are going to play in the first round? I lost in your second point.
Who can come out of the NFC?
The NFC with the injuries. You know, Detroit has been devastated with injuries too, and the Eagles don't have Hurts for a long time. In the long future, then it's like, you know, Minnesota and Green Bay haven't.
Well, Green, I said the team that concerns me the most out of that whole group is Green Bay.
Yeah, they sure know how to pick quarterbacks, like the Steelers pick coaches. Merry Christmas and everything.
Wait, Mitch, really quick. What is your God-given talent?
What is my God-given talent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Trouble.
What did you say?
Trouble.
Trouble?
getting myself into trouble. But yeah. After I'm retired now, it was good. 36 years at FedEx.
Now, were you the kind of child that got taken to the principal's office on occasion?
Nothing serious. Just to have a lot of common sense.
I got you, Mitch.
Okay.
Trouble finds him.
He doesn't find trouble. The trouble finds him. That's just his natural ability. 215-592-9494. We say a good afternoon to Andrew, who wants to get on here about the Eagles. What's up, Andrew? Or Andre. Andre, not Andrew. Andre. What's up, Andre? Andre. Let's put Andre on hold. Let's talk to Smooth Joe, who's got some pipes of his own. What's up, Joe?
Merry Christmas to you.
I like it.
Oh, no.
Pretty good.
So I'm going to guess your natural talent is also your voice.
I just thought I'd call in since you guys were so happy about the Trace Atkins recorded voice. I thought I'd give you a little chime in with a little something live.
The live version?
Well, you're right. You're right there in that pocket, my friend. I got to give it to you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Anyhow, boy, I sure hated to see Jalen go down on Sunday there. It would have been a hell of a SEC battle had he was able to go all the way. Because you got two quarterbacks that come from football colleges.
Oh yeah, from the best college football in America.
Yeah, it had me thinking of something. A few years ago, the Eagles had an exorbitant amount of picks there, and that particular year, I said I would like to see them keep all the picks and use them all with SEC players.
Well,
it only took
Howie Roseman more than a decade to realize that good football players come out of the SEC, but now he's gone all in on it.
It took the Jalen Reagor pick.
Yeah, for him
as
to be
soon
like, hey,
as that happened,
maybe we should just draft the Georgia defense. That might work.
Yep.
You can never go wrong with LSU wide receivers or Georgia or Alabama linemen. And now the new school that is producing has become a factory is Ole Miss. Look out for Mississippi with
A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf out of there.
Lane Kiffin is producing pros.
And complaining about his playoff standing on Twitter.
And then going silent when Tennessee loses.
Yeah. Joe, what'd you have go ahead.
We might even get a future pick out of Norfolk State.
Now with Michael Vick as head coach?
If he can do a little something there, you know.
Well, look, he's following in the footsteps of Deion Sanders. What he is going to find out,
tell you.
What he is going to find out that Deion at Colorado has a much bigger NIL budget to spend on bringing kids to his program than Michael Vick is going to have at Norfolk State to bring in kids into his his program.
By the way, Michael Vick, I saw, was still on the Fox pregame show the other day. So is he just finishing out the year there? Is he doing both? How's this working?
Assuming he's finishing out the year there.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, do you have a natural talent other than your voice?
A natural talent? No, not necessarily. No more than working, fixing things. I love to diagnose problems and fix things.
Oh, that's a good talent to have.
All right.
Joe, appreciate the call. Listen, the ability to diagnose and fix things, whether it's something tangible, whether it's a problem with a coworker, being a problem solver, generally speaking.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Just overall in life, it's a good skill to have. 215-592-9494. Let's sneak in one more call here. Before the top of the hour, George is in Upper Darby, wants to talk about Jalen Hurts' injury. What's up, George?
Listen, I am so perturbed. Am I the only one? Me and eight guys, they're at my house watching the game that day. We ran that tape over and over and over again on Jalen getting hurt. No one saw number four's hand smashing Jalen Hurts' helmet into the ground as he's going down. 54 caught Jalen from the side, Wagner. And then this guy comes in with a late hit after Jalen's on his way down. And nobody saw that hand coming down, hitting him in. He grabbed it. He pushed his helmet right into the dirt, into the ground.
George, I would assume
he didn't get a penalty flag there because he didn't slide. If he goes in head first, he's fair game. That's the way the refs look at it.
Wait a minute. He did go in head first, but then he came with his hand, too, and smashed it into the ground. You got to see it from another angle. There's four or five angles on that. And I guess the CBS one had the best one where you see his hand coming down over his helmet, smashing into the ground.
George,
unbelievable.
George, if you caught it on your DVR at home, don't you think the league office has access to those same angles?
I don't give a damn. I don't believe half that crap, no. Somebody just didn't want to do it. They don't want to, listen, Washington should be penalized, that guy number four. Those guys were dancing and prancing after he got hurt, what they did to him. That was not a clean hit. If it was a clean hit, I would say it's a clean hit. It was not a clean hit. It was done intentionally.
So you think the Commanders were trying to give Jalen Hurts a concussion?
A Absolutely. That guy, number four, he was so wired up that game. It was unbelievable.
Well, that was Luvu. That's Frankie Luvu.
He was flipping into that. Did you see what he did after that? He was doing Dawkins dance. You know, running around like a dog on the ground on four legs.
George, your line's breaking up. Sorry, I got to let you go. I don't know if I...
I'm looking at it right now. I pulled it up. Luvu comes in, and his hand does make contact with Jalen's helmet, but all the force of it is really when he goes to the ground. Once right. his shoulder hits the ground, and then his head kind of whips down, kind of like he gets whiplash as his head hits the grass, that's where the concussion happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't from... Bobby Wagner or Luvu.
I don't know if I buy that any of the Commanders' defenders, Wagner, Luvu, whoever, are trying to concuss Jalen Hurts.
No, and Ricky was right where if he goes head first, he's fair game. That's how the refs look at it. Yeah.
To that kind
of. If you go in head first, all bets are off. If Jalen would slide feet first, you know, and there was the one penalty that we thought they were going to get on.
On Kenny Pickett. The guy went, right over him.
But the defender went right over him, and they picked up the flag. If you go in feet first, now, you know, the Ryan Lawrence hit that we saw a few weeks ago, that's totally different. The guy got suspended for the two games. His name escapes me. But Jalen Hurts does not slide, or at least not on that particular play, did not slide feet first. And according to the rules, he's fair game when he comes in, you know, head first.
Yeah, it was Aziz Al-Shahir, I believe, who just leveled Trevor Lawrence, and it was blatantly
that a late hit. Yeah,
and then he gets into it with the fans and the other team afterwards.
Lawrence goes in feet first.
Yes,
he is sliding, and that, you know, that's the one thing, and this isn't the first time. It's not the first time that Jalen Hurts has not, you know, slid in feet first and kept himself out of that risk.
215-592-9494. We have 1 hour left to play. Myself, Dan Wilson, and Ricky Ricardo. That other voice you hear is Luke Nichols, our producer. We're on for one more hour here in this afternoon time slot on a Christmas Eve. Believe it'll be Rob Cherry at that time. We'll take you up through the rest of the evening. Coming up next, it's one of the most highly anticipated segments, not just on the afternoon show, but on WIP. Ricky, Luke Nichols is going to take his first ever crack at the top five at five. I look forward to that. And in addition to that, you know, we spent a little bit of time earlier in the show talking about being undisciplined, poor temper, some controversial officiating. Well, we had some of that last night at the Wells Fargo Center. We're going to have to touch on that as well.
Absolutely.
All of that coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. It's Ricky Ricardo, Dan Wilson with you on this Christmas Eve, Sports Radio 94 WIP.